He spent his life dedicated to this doctrine, touched lives all over the globe, and you got an opportunity to hear the word from a man who's given his life to building the kingdom of God. I love Brother Bass. Would you come? Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise as he comes?
Go ahead and give God praise. All over the house, let's magnify him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Well, what a wonderful, wonderful atmosphere the Holy Ghost is in this place tonight. Amen. I give honor to your pastor and his dear wife and family. Love them very dearly. Have great respect for them. It's obvious that the hand of God is on their life. And that good things are happening at First Pentecostal Church. Amen. Give honor to the bishop, my friend. Many, many years. I think that, I don't even want to think about how long ago it was that we first met. But it's probably been 50 years ago at least. 45, 50 or somewhere in that area. And we have appreciated their friendship all through the years. And Brother Pound, I don't know that we have met before. Was your father in Rialto? Wow. I finally get to meet you. Praise the Lord. I don't know that Brother Pound I've ever met, but I was preaching a revival in Rialto, and your father, as I understand it, had been out of church for over 40 years. And before I ever got through preaching that night, his father, from the back of the church, got up, walked all the way down the front. I was still preaching when he lifted his hands and started talking in tongues. Hallelujah! Amen. And I had the wonderful opportunity to have lunch with him one day with Bishop Booker. He's quite a character. He was quite a character. And I admired his truck. My goodness, I'm thinking, how old was he, 80-something years old, and driving this, was it a red one, I think, a red one, a yellow, black? His black, what kind was it? One of those really fancy sports trucks. I'm talking about. It had a motor under the hood that was bigger than any old man needed to have. Amen. But I rejoiced in what God did there. And I'm so thankful we had an opportunity to be together tonight. And I just rejoice in what the Lord did in his father's life. And what a great God we serve. What that tells me is this. Our God is a merciful God. Our God is a merciful God. Hallelujah. What great grace. What great mercy. Hallelujah. Well, I'm happy for what I feel here tonight. And I just got a feeling we're about to turn this thing upside down around here tonight. Yeah. I want to read from the book of Numbers, chapter number 10. Beginning with verse number 1, the book of Numbers, chapter 10, verse 1. I don't know why I feel this the way I feel it tonight, but I do think that this is what the Lord wants us to preach on here tonight. Amen. Are these monitors not working here tonight? They can help me out. I would so appreciate it. My may not sound it to you, but my voice is a little weak tonight. Numbers 10, verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou might use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes which are the heads of the tribes of Israel shall gather themselves unto thee. And when you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. And when you blow an alarm the second time, that the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey, they shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall blow with trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. Also, in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn assemblies, and in the beginning of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord. Reading again verse number 9 from a different translation, it renders that verse on this wise. And when you go into battle in your land against the adversary who is distressing you, then you have shouted with the trumpets, and you have been remembered before Jehovah your God, and you have been saved from your enemies. This particular verse is basically saying, when it's time to go to war, I want you, before you ever go to war, I want you to shout with the trumpets. Amen. I want you to shout before you ever get out on the battlefield. And so what I want to preach a few minutes tonight on is this thought: don't wait till the battle's over. Shout now. Hallelujah. Shout now. I need more monitor. Somebody say, shout now. Give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Don't cross your legs. Don't throw your arms in the back of the pew. Scoot up a little bit on the pew. Let's get ready to have a little bit of church here tonight. Amen. Most of us are driven by sight. We want to see it before we shout about it. We want to see the work done before we praise Him for it. Rarely do people praise God for what they believe that He is going to do. And yet I find in the word of the Lord that there were times when the people of God were actually commanded to praise Him before the fact and not after the fact. Amen. That was the command. I read in Isaiah 54 and verse number 1. He said, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth in the singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. And what we're noting here is that he spoke to the barren, the childless, the mother that had no children, or the woman that had no children. And the command was for the mother or the woman to sing and to cry aloud. Now you have to understand that to an Israelite mind, nothing can suggest more forcibly the idea of desolation and sorrow in a nation or a spiritual community than the childless woman. It was a thing of shame in that time for a woman to be barren. Throughout the scripture, We note the pain of being childless is seen in the lives of many. Genesis 30 and verse 1. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. Hannah was a woman in 1 Samuel chapter 1 that prayed for a child so intensely that her mouth moved, but no words came out. She was daily in derision by her adversary. There are other examples in Scripture of women that carried the shame of being childless, that carried the pain of having never born a child because of the fact that it was not something to rejoice over. And so when you read Isaiah 54 and 1, and it says, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. That particular statement, there is no rhyme or reason to it. Because a woman who was childless had no reason to sing. She had no reason to break forth into worship and into praise. She had no reason to laugh and to rejoice because she carried the burden of being childless. But what the prophet of God was doing to those that were barren was saying, I want you to get ready. I want you to start singing before the miracle, before you have the child, before you see the supernatural work. I want you to begin to worship and to sing. I've come to preach to a few folks here tonight that you've been struggling through life and you have been laboring under intense pressure and the pains of life and trials. But I've come to talk to you tonight about the fact that it's time, amen, to not wait until the battle is over, but shout now. Hallelujah. What God wanted was for the barren to begin to sing and to act by faith. Act by faith. The promise of God was that there will be the bringing forth of children. He went on to make this statement. He said, I want you to enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. What he was saying was the work that God wants to do so great that the house that you're living in is not big enough to fill, it's not big enough to house the miracle I want to perform. So I'm going to tell you, you need to make room for it. You need to enlarge your tent. You need to stretch forth. Woo, hallelujah. Stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. I want you to get ready. You want what I feel tonight to tell some people in this house is that you have locked things down in your life. You have lived with such unbelief and doubt in your mind and your heart. What God is saying is you got to make room for me to work a miracle. You got to make room for me to help you. You got to make room for me to turn your situation around. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know what your issue is. I don't know what your problems are. I don't know what your circumstances are. But the God that I'm preaching about tonight is saying, if you'll lift up your voice, if you'll start calling upon Him, if you'll start crying aloud to Him, mm. you some more. Hallelujah. If you'll start crying out, if you'll start lifting your voice. Somebody said, but I don't have a reason to praise. Praise by faith. I don't have a reason to shout. Shout by faith. I don't have a reason. Hallelujah. I don't have a reason to dance. Dance by faith. I don't have a reason to shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah by faith. I don't have a reason to run. Run by faith. I said run by faith. Make up your mind. I'm not going to wait till the battle's over. I'm going to shout now. I'm going to shout now. Woo, hallelujah. Come on, let's clap our hands and praise him right now. Praise the Lord. I'm going to preach a few things that I feel here tonight in the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's some of you here tonight that are so locked down financially because you've got a poverty mentality. When you serve a God that owns a cattle of 1,000 hills, you serve a God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. I'm telling some people in this house tonight, you need to get ready. I said you need to get ready. You want a better job? Shout about it now. You want to... Come on, I can't hear you. Hallelujah. Come on, quit going around with your lip dragging the ground all the time. Quit going around griping and grumbling about everything. Quit, oh, help me, Jesus, right now. What am I saying? Quit walking around in life with an attitude that says, everybody's getting better than I am. You need to say to your God, you're big, you're great, you got what I need, and I don't have it now, but I'm going to shout about it now. I'm going to dance about it now. I'm going to sing about it now. Praise the Lord. Our problem is that we're guilty of saying, when the blessing comes, then I'll praise him. When the miracle happens, then I'll praise him. When revival comes to my life, then I'll praise him. But that's not the message tonight. The message is, don't wait. I said, don't wait. Don't wait till the battle's over. Shout now. Don't wait until you get your miracle. Shout now. Don't wait until you get your breakthrough. Shout now. Don't wait until you get your new job. Shout now. Praise the Lord. You need to shout like your bachelor children have just prayed through to the Holy Ghost. You need to shout like your husband that's unsaved has just walked in the door and threw his hands up and talked in tongues. You need to shout. Hallelujah. Come on, saints. We need to shout like we've just seen 12 people get the Holy Ghost in the service. Don't wait. I said, don't wait. Don't wait. Shout now. Shout now. Oh, hallelujah. 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 It's obvious around here that we need a bigger building. Shout before you ever get that building.
dance as if it's just been finished. Shout as if it's already happened. Yes. 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 Quit focusing on what you don't have and start focusing on the one you serve. Come on. Quit focusing on the fact you just lost your job. Focus on the one that can give you a better job. Lord, I feel something all over this place here tonight. I'm not just preaching this to get a response. I'm just telling you in the Holy Ghost that it's time for us, some of us Pentecostals, to get off our pew, to get up from where we are, to get out of the doldrums, to get out of the depression, to get out of the oppression, and make up your mind. I'm going to shout. I'm going to praise Him before I ever see the work accomplished. Praise the Lord. I know sometimes our response can be, but I don't have anything to go on. I have no evidence. I have no proof. Well, let me just tell you that Mary, the mother of Jesus, sang before there was ever any evidence of an impending miracle in her life. All she had to go on was the Word of God. That's all she had to go on. And all we have tonight to go on is the Word of God. But that's enough. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Before she ever felt a child leap in her womb, before she ever found evidence that she was carrying the Christ child, she started singing, she started praising, she started worshiping. Gideon built an altar in the time of war and called the altar peace before he even fought the battle. Before he ever went out and fought the battle, he already built an altar and said, I'm going to call it Jehovah Shalom. What I'm trying to tell you is, you got a God tonight that is sitting ready to perform the miraculous. But what he wants to know is, are you willing to shout now? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Some of y'all don't even pay attention sometimes to the red thermometer up there. But you ought to thank God for what's already there. But you need to recognize that's just the seed. That's just the beginning. Amen. Now let me just tell you, I'm going to go back to Numbers real quick. Numbers chapter 10. And I'm not going to get into a lot of details on this. But the Lord designed, or he planned, that they would build two silver trumpets. And those silver trumpets would be for the calling of the assembly of the people of God. What those trumpets were designed to do was two things. When they made a particular sound on the trumpet, it did two things to them. It told them what they were supposed to do, and it told them the attitude with which they are to do it. When they blew the trumpet for the calling of the assembly to the tabernacle, it was a certain sound that created an attitude of consecration and an attitude of devotion to God. And so they approached the tabernacle with a spirit of humility because they were coming to the throne of Almighty God upon the earth. Oh, hallelujah. But then when we find the time of there was a command given that whenever they only blew with one trumpet, that it was for the calling of the princes of Israel, the leaders in Israel. Two trumpets were blown for the entire congregation. But when one trumpet was blown, it was only for the leaders. Now, I'm just going to throw something out here that I think is needful in the time that we're living in. And that is simply this. It ought to take a lot less for our leaders to move than what it takes for the rest of the congregation. Huh? It ought to be the leaders, the first one in the aisles. It ought to be the leaders, the first one on their feet. It ought to be the leaders praising God greater than everybody else. Oh, I feel Holy Ghost now. I feel a holy boldness now. Don't tell me you're a preacher if you can't get up and shout with somebody else when they're preaching. Don't call yourself a praise singer if you can't be on the feet praising God when somebody else is doing the singing. Come on now, hallelujah. Don't call yourself a musician if you can't do nothing but sit back there on the seat like a frog on a log. Amen. Whenever somebody else is playing your instrument. If you're a leader, shout now. If you're a leader, shout now. It ought to take a lot less to move you. Woo! Amen. And so, whenever they were to blow the trumpet at the time that the camp was to go from one place to another, they were to blow that trumpet loud and clear. The sound was a broken, quavering, interrupted sound, so blown as to encourage and excite the minds of the people in their marches. It comes from a Hebrew word that means an acclamation of joy. It means a high, joyful sound. So when Israel heard that high, joyful sound being blown on the trumpet, it was to excite them. It was telling them, it's time to tear down the tents. It's time to pack up the bags. We've been around this mountain long enough. It's time to move forward. It's time to go forward. Praise the Lord. I feel a spirit of prophecy coming on me right now. I don't say that very often. I very rarely use that terminology. But I'm just going to tell you that there was a day God told Israel, you've come past this mountain long enough. Get up and go northward. Get up and go northward. You've come past this mountain long enough. You've been where you are long enough. And so when you go to Numbers chapter 21, 22, somewhere in that area, that is where that they moved northward. It is the record, the record that was given, the recording of their journeys from that mountain. And here's what I notice about what happened, that whenever they moved northward, they encountered some adversaries at the brook of Arnon. And at the brook of Arnon, the Bible said that they fought a great battle. And when the battle was won, that it was written, here's what the Bible said, that it was written in the book of the war, the book of the Lord, the wars of the Lord, what he did at the Red Sea and at the brook Arnon. Do you realize what that is saying? What that is saying is that the miracle and the supernatural victory that took place at Arnon was just as great as the miracle of the crossing of the Red Sea. You know what God was trying to tell Israel? I'm just trying to show you, your last great miracle has not been experienced. I've come to tell First Pentecostal Church tonight, your last great revival has not already happened. You've been through the Red Sea, but now there's a brook Arnon. You've not seen your last great revival. You've not seen your last great opportunity of winning souls. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When it was recorded in the book of the wars of the Lord, what he did, God was classing the victory at Arnon with the same victory at the Red Sea. That ought to tell every one of us something. And that is that God's got greater things for us. God's got mightier things for us. There's a blessed future in front of us. You hear this preacher tonight. I don't care if it's COVID. I don't care if it's government overreach. I don't care if it's fear. I don't care if it's anxiety. Our God's greater. Our God's greater. Our God's greater. Our God's greater. What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? Hear that trumpet blowing? It means we got to pick up the tents again. I want to tell you right now, that was not the attitude. It wasn't the attitude for people to say, oh no, not again. We got to pick up the tents again. We got to pack up the bags again. We got to get everything in order. We're going to journey again. That was not the intent. The intent was when that trumpet blew, that told them you're going to break camp and move to a new location. But here's the attitude I want you to do it with. Do it with joy. Do it with joy. Do it with joy. Hallelujah. When a preacher gets in this pulpit, when your pastor gets in this pulpit and says God's still going to open the door, and great revival is still here in the city of Buford, Georgia, you ought to be on your feet saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to shout now. Don't wait. I said, don't wait. Amen. Then the Bible tells us, back to our verse 9 of Numbers 10, that the Lord said, now, when there's an adversary coming your way, and he said, they blow that trumpet. Now this trumpet, the sound of this trumpet comes from a Hebrew word which means triumph. It's a Hebrew word that means to split the ears with sound. It was the sound that was a blast of triumph. When they blew that trumpet, it told everybody in the camp, there's an enemy out there. We're about to go fight a fight. We're about to go to war. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The enemy may have been bigger. The enemy may have been greater. But what God wanted to do among the people was two things. Tell them, we're about to fight a fight. But the second thing I want is your attitude that says, we win. We win. We win. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know, we win. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that we win. Yeah, we win. An attitude of we win. We're not defeated. We're not put down. Hallelujah, we win. We're not going to be destroyed. We're winning this. God said, I want you to have an attitude that says, we win. You can go fight your fight. And if you're not careful, the devil will put such fear in your heart that God's got to give you victory over your fear before he ever gives you victory in your battle. And what that verse indicates to us is simply this. What God was saying was, when those trumpets are blown and you realize that we're going to battle, I want you to don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. Shout with the trumpets. But here's the beautiful part. The beautiful part of that verse is this. God said that when I hear that trumpet sound, and I hear that you are shouting with the trumpets, he said, I'll hear it in the glory world. I'm going to hear your attitude. I'm going to see that you're not waiting till the battle is over. You're shouting now. The Lord said, I'll come down there where you are. I'll come down there where you are. You won't fight that battle by yourself. I'll be down there to fight that battle with you. My God. I'll fight your battle for you. Come on, musicians, get ready. We're about to turn this thing loose around here tonight. Let me tell you what God's looking for from us tonight. He's looking for us to have an attitude that says we can win. We win. Amen. We win. We're not waiting till the battle is over. We're going to shout now. No matter what the weapons are, we win. No matter what the weapons are, we win. Y'all ready? So here's what the psalmist said. It sounds to me like he got keyed into what God's looking for from the church. In Psalm 47 and verse number 1. Oh, clap your hands. All ye people, shout unto God with the voice of what? Is your voice. The trumpet today is your voice. shout with a voice of triumph. Shout with a voice of triumph. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout, shout with a voice of triumph. Praise the Lord. Now, I know we don't have a lot of room here tonight, but I want those. Here's what I want tonight. Here's what I feel. I feel so strong in this tonight that if you are in this house and you are desperate for a financial miracle in your life, I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. If you are here tonight and you are desperate to see your family saved, your husband saved, your children saved, and if you are here tonight and you have a physical ailment, you have a disease in your body, I'm going to tell you what I want you to do tonight. Here's what I want you to do. When these singers start singing, whoo, yeah, yeah, yeah. When they start praising God, here's what I want you to do. I want you to shout. Listen now. I want you to shout as if you just got your miracle. Shout as if you just got your financial miracle. Shout as if your husband just got the Holy Ghost.
Don't wait till the battle is over. Don't wait till the victory is won. Just remember whatever God promised, it's yours and it's already.
Taking place. Shout like God's already done it.
Don't wait.
Don't wait.
Don't wait.
Don't wait.
Shout now. Oh, don't wait till the battle is over. Don't wait. Oh, remember whatever God promised. It's yours and it's already done.
Shout now.
Shout now.
Shout now.
Shout now.
Shout now.
Oh.
Master said you won't get away.
Come on, I'm telling you.
Oh, don't you fret.
Don't wait.
Don't you worry.
Don't wait.
Jesus, he never cares.
Shout now.
Thank you.
Forsaken, not his seed.